We're going to go through a very familiar passage this morning. Very, very familiar passage. But it's a goodie. Psalm 23 and verse 1. We're going to, Lord willing, we're going to go through all six of these verses. The sole purpose this morning is I want us to leave here trusting in the name of the Lord. I'm not just talking about salvation. And yes, if you're not saved, you need to do that today. But I'm talking about in this crazy world and all this stuff, everybody's well aware of all the craziness that's going on in the world. And there's all the stuff that you don't know about. Then there's the stuff going on in your personal life. All this stuff, man, God is in control. We need to put our trust in God. Amen? Amen. He is worthy. Okay, Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise his holy name with me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We invite you into this place, Lord. Your will be done in this service. Let us all leave here changed. Let us all leave here refreshed and excited, Lord. Not a false hope, not a fake hope, but your peace, Lord. Your peace, your strength, your guidance. We love you and we praise you. Whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, Lord, we love you. We love you. You are worthy of our praise. You are faithful in all things. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So a lot's been going on, man. Lots been going on. We've had a couple people graduate that are part of this church. People that have passed on is what I'm saying. People that have are now getting their eternal blessing. There's been a lot going on. A lot of people are struggling with different situations, different diagnoses. Doctors have been giving people in this church. People are, some folks, man, ain't really been able to work too much in about a year now. You know, lots been going on, but God is faithful. Amen. So it's not lost to me that I keep kind of talking about this whole trusting in God thing, okay, that's our source for everything. I understand that, okay, but this is what we need, church folk, all right? This is what we got to grab a hold of, okay? And if it's old hat to you, if you've got it, you know what I mean? Well, then it don't hurt to go over it again because you're going to need it one day. And this is the time to learn. If your life is just peachy and perfect, well, then good. Good, but this is the time that we get this stuff stored in our heart. Amen. So let's go through this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23, verse 1. We all know that verse. Whether you've ever been to church or not, you've heard that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay. What in the world does that mean to me? What does that mean to us? What's that got to do with the price of tea in China? The Lord is my shepherd. Well, let me ask you this. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? Because the main thing is, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if you haven't made that commitment, then he's not your shepherd, you know. But you know that. You already know that. But see, to the Christian folks in here, people that have already made that decision, is he your shepherd? I'm not saying, are you saved? Because I'm talking to saved people right now at this moment. I'm saying, are you letting our Lord guide and lead and direct us? You know what I mean? He's given us this whole book right here. And this church right here, man, like every other Bible-believing church, we are a Bible-believing church. Okay? We stand on this word, but we got to get to know this word. Okay? And as we get to know this word, we want to be obedient to this word. Even when the word of God says, hey, you need to do this, and your flesh is saying, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, man. I've already forgiven this cat 14 times, or I've ever turned the cheek. I get it. But see, God is trying to lead us, okay? He's trying to lead us, okay? And it's for his glory, and it's for our growth. When he tells you to do something, okay, he's not trying to steal your fun. He's not trying to rain on your parade. He's trying to save you from hurt and agony. Can I get a witness? Give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, I know for a fact. I think I know. Yeah, I do know for a fact. It's on your bulletin. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, talking about that shepherd, talking about our shepherd. And if you're not a Christian, do it today. Do it today. Let the angels rejoice, man. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. So Isaiah is talking about us like sheep, just like David is talking to us like we're sheep. We see that throughout Scripture, okay? He will tend his flock like a shepherd. Who? God. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. What does that mean, man? I don't have sheep. I don't raise sheep. I got a dog and I got three cats. Cats do whatever they want to do. And the dog's, he's a sweet doggy. But, man, I don't raise livestock. I don't have nothing to do with that. I think that's great. I think more people need to do it. But that, anyways, dude, let me just get back on track here. Sheep need a master. They need someone to guide them, lead them, direct them, protect them, correct them. Because without a master, they're automatically going to get in bad trouble. Okay, so here's the comparison. That's why the comparison works so good when you're talking about God's people. We are bent. We are bent to go the opposite direction of where we're supposed to go. Okay, so David doing his thing, you know, as a young man out there watching the sheep, boom, it hit him one day. Huh. Just like I take care of these stupid, dumb little sheepies. Well, he loved, you know, David loved his sheep. Obviously, he loved his sheep. Bear would come up, he'd kill the bear. Lion would come up, he'd kill the lion. You know what Paul Rott would do if he had a bunch of sheep and a lion came up? Well, that's a whole different story. But he loved these sheep, man. And he saw, you know, the way I love these old silly old things, man. You know, they always want to go get in trouble. That's how God loves us. That's how God takes care of us. So Isaiah's talking about us being sheep as well. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. Okay, that's all of us. That's all his people. We know what shepherds do. They protect, they correct, they guide you to the water. They guide you to the place to eat. They take care of you. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. Now, Isaiah 40 in verse 11 is a very precious and personal verse to me, and I want it to be for you as well, because like I said, it starts off talking about all of God's people. I take care of all of them. The whole shooting match, they're all mine. But sometimes we're like, well, God, I got some personal things going on right now, man. I got some stuff going on. You know, I feel like my thing is the big thing right now. It's just kind of taking over my world at the moment. I can't really work. I can't do this. We all know how that feels, right? You're like, I want to be productive. I want to do this. I want to do that. But right now, I just got this huge thing in my life, you know, and it's just overtaking everything. Now look, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. So here's God saying, hey, man, I know you're hurting. Hey, sweetheart, I know you're hurting. And he picks us up and holds us just like a father does a child, just like a mama does a baby, and says, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He's still taking care of everybody. But he's like, listen, I got you. I love you. And even if your situation is like so super weird and unique, okay, or you feel like it's so super weird and unique, God makes this amazing promise. He takes it another step, and he says, hey, let me just read it. Carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So you ever felt like you were kind of getting left behind, man? You felt like, man, everybody else seems to be doing just great, you know? God says, looky here, man. I know about it. Don't worry about those other people first off. All right, but let me tell you something. I love you, and I'm not leaving you behind. I know you feel like you got all this extra baggage right now, and I want to help you with that, by the way. But first off, I'm not leaving you behind. I love you, little lamb. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that precious? He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, that means something to David because he lived that life, taking care of these little sheepies, you know, little lambs, little furry little things. You've heard of them. You've seen them. The Lord is my shepherd. So if God is my shepherd and I allow him to be my shepherd, check this out. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Because, I mean, see, we have all these needs, you know. Somebody told me in school sometime, they were like, some fancy teachers, like, you need food. That's certainly true. You need water. That's certainly true. You need shelter, clothing, those sorts of things. We need that stuff. You know, well, see, I shall not want. That's not saying that God's not, that's not saying God's going to give you every little thing your heart wants. Okay? Now, there's a verse in Scripture that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And people have ran with that, and I've certainly liked to run with that a time or two. Preacher Fred ground that into the old people, the people that were here a long time ago. I know who you are. Preacher Fred ground that into us, man. And it's true because, you know, as you get a certain age and you get on, you know, responsibilities and stuff, you're like, well, I just don't want to say something just because the old man said it, even though he's never been wrong as far as anything he's ever said from here. But I'm saying as you do your own research, you're like, oh, yeah, there it is. Yep, there it is. It's not saying delight yourself in the Lord, and because he's your buddy, he's going to give you every single little thing. He's saying, delight yourself in me, sell out to me, and I will install in you the desires I want you to have. So I'll give you, I'll make your dreams come true. I'll lead you down that path. But see, you got to line your will up with my will, okay? So that's what it's talking about. But see, my needs, I'm not going to go without. And if it does look like I'm going without, you know what? God's been there along the way. God's been there along the way, and I decided to go my other way. Because God says, if you make me your shepherd, all right, you're going to have hard times. You're going to have tough times. You're going to have brutal times, man. But I'll make sure you got what you need, everything you need. Okay, 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, says that he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. That's a pretty good promise. You're not going to get a better one than that. So you're here, you're blessed to be here, you know, and I'm going to make sure that if you need it for this life or the next or to be the person I've called you to be, I'll make sure you have the tools you need. Give them some praise. Go ahead. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's follow that up with 1 Peter 5:7, because the Lord does provide. He certainly does. And we carry these immense weights, man. We do. I know we do. I do. You know, sometimes I'll just have to realize, man, I'm about to lose my mind. All right? Like, seriously, thank God he'll be like, dude. Hey, I mean, he'll say dude. But Paul, you're about to lose your mind, dude. You need to just give me all this stuff right here. You know, because this world gets heavy, man. This world gets, especially when the things that we have built, you know, that we've learned to rely on, and they get a little shaky at times. And I'll be honest, got to let them things get shaky so we can realize, hey, you're not really supposed to rely on them things. You don't need to put your trust in chariots and horses or puppy dogs or Porsches. You just trust in the name of the Lord our God, right? Puppy dogs are good friends, though. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Because what he's saying is, because he cares for you, certainly that should mean something to us. Everybody wants to feel like they matter to somebody. And this, we're talking about the creator of the universe, man. He says, I care about you. In Jeremiah, you know, 29, He's saying, I think about you. Not I thought about you a time or two, you know, and I was like, mm. He thinks about us. And he says, I'm going to let you in a little bit on the kind of thoughts I have about you. They're good thoughts. Great. Think about it. I mean, my goodness gracious, man, what more do you want? God, the creator of all things, the sovereign Lord, says, I've been thinking about you, Dustin. Good thoughts, man. I don't know, man. What's wrong with you people? That's good news. That's great news. What do you want me to do? A little dance or something? That's good news. That's wonderful news. I'm sorry. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother David. I love you, my friend. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I don't know, Paul. I got some mega stressors, man. I got some real anxieties. The God that created all the universe says, hey, you give those to me. You do what you can do. For instance, you don't have a job. Okay, go look for a job. Make that your job, right? Make that your job, looking for a job till you get a job. But know that God will make a way where there is no way, right? Know that God, it's not hopeless, but God wants you to take part in this effort. But he says, hey, when you get to that dead end, when you get to that unreachable thing there, don't stress out about that. Okay, I got that part. You just be about my business. You be doing what you need to do. Can I get a witness? Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. It's the best part. He cares for you. That means that we are his concern. That is a game changer right there. You know, we can care about people, and then we can get occupied with something else, and it's not that we don't care about them. We're just doing something else. You know, we have this finite ability to do some things. But God says, my sheep, my flock, you are my concern. That's what he's saying. You're my concern. So you can be worried and stressed out and sick to your stomach about all this stuff that you have no control over, or you can just rest in me because this is my concern. You are my concern. You are my baby. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Let's go back to our main verses. Psalm 23. Say it like this, verses. Verses. Let's say it like the evil guy that's trying to take over the world. Verses. I don't know. Never mind. Never mind. Psalm 23 and verse. Now, my dad wouldn't have done that. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I've heard that ever since I was a little kid. Is it true? Yeah, it's totally true. But see, here's the thing. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures because me, Paul, I'm the type of sheep, and you probably are too. You know, I'm the type of sheep that I'm like, hey, this looks pretty, and I'll go off in the wrong direction. You know, this looks fun. I'll go off in the wrong direction. And see, sometimes God says, you know what? I love you, so I'm just going to pick you up and redirect you. And he does, and we'll take a few steps, and they're like, oh, I think I would do. And you'll start going back the opposite way, and it'll get a little sterner. And sometimes he'll just have to grab you and say, no. No, no. No, no, sheepy. That's the wrong way. You're going to get hurt. That's not going to bring you what you think it's going to bring you. Oh, no, man, you don't understand. That looks pretty. That looks shiny. That looks awesome. It's like, yeah, the devil will do stuff like that. And our flesh is so eager to get involved in that sort of thing. Okay, and God's saying, no, that's not going to bring you peace. That's not going to bring you rest. That's going to mess some junk up, brother. Okay? So in my life, I can tell you what he did in my life. Because I remember that I accepted Jesus Christ, and 1990-something. It's like, seriously. 93. The winter in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. You ain't saved. You don't remember the exact date. No, I'm married. I don't always remember exactly when I was married. No, it happened. I know it happened. I get reminded every so often. I'm playing. But yeah, okay. I accepted Jesus Christ in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Crazy revival services, man. People were rolling around and everything, and people were putting their clothes on backwards. Not that their clothes came off, but people were doing this. I mean, I'm not knocking it. I'm saying God was moving in some amazing ways, man. And I was sitting back watching all this stuff. My dad was preaching up there. And, man, there was some wild stuff going on. And a little voice was like, "Won't you accept me, man?" You know, paraphrasing. It's like, next thing you know, I'm up here in front of some preacher I don't know. And he asked, you know, he leads me through the sinner's prayer. And it was just that time. Well, then, man, you know, about the time I rolled back into Milton, Florida, I got right back into everything I left behind. You know, started to bother me a little bit. You know, like, you know, I'm supposed to have a different boss right now. But I'm off the clock. But not really. Not really. We're not off the clock. So I fell back into the things of the world. We're talking about going that wrong direction, man. And the Lord wants to lead us into that right direction where we can actually have peace. Even when everything else doesn't look like a peaceful stream. God says, you can have peace. You can have the green pastures because you know what? Sheeps need green pastures. They need that food, that provision. Okay? And God wants us to have peace. We want to go the opposite direction. God grabbed a hold of me. He did June. Well, that's when I got diagnosed. Seriously. Seriously. No, man, my back got messed up real bad. Really, really bad. And I thought things were all right. I had Rachel Jean and a little baby boy and a couple cars. And I mean, not that that's anything, but for me, that was something. A couple cars and a little house. And things were going all right. I was working really, really hard. And, man, God just twisted me around, dude. He's like, no way. I mean, things were kind of, I mean, for a dude with really nothing going on, a lot was kind of going on for me. You know, I was like, okay, this is okay, man. I can do this. I can put food on the table. All is well. But God had a different plan, man. See, the more I got what I thought I needed, the more I was able to take care of myself, the more I was leaving God on the back burner. And it's not that I didn't come to church every Sunday, because I certainly did. You know, I didn't want to hurt my dad or my mom's feelings. I didn't want to cause any trouble. And I believe what was being said in here, it's just I had bigger fish to fry. There were things, man, it was like, this is fine and dandy. I'll get more involved in this, you know, as I get older or whatever, you know. And I respect these cats and all that. I wanted to show up late, and I wanted to leave early. I didn't want to have to talk to nobody. You know, just how it was. But God grabbed me, and I'm thankful for it. I mean, I feel it every single day of my life. My body has not been the same. I hurt my back really, really bad. Every single day I live with this. It's a certain amount of pain. Some days are worse than others. But, man, I'm telling you, that was God. That was God that allowed that to happen to lead me to that place I needed to be. Because I wasn't going to go there on my own. And it's not like he didn't keep showing me. I just kept going the other way. Like, no, I won't do this. I won't do this. You know? Everybody say undo. See, he'll grab you. He'll shake your world up, man. He will. But see, he's still faithful. Even when you're faithless, he's still faithful. Give him some praise. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Ezekiel 34 and verse 14. And he will, man. Sometimes he'll just stop you right there. And I thank him for it. And I bet we've all had those. Or you might be in that. Or you might be heading for that. You know, where God will do some shaking, man. Is what it is. That's how God makes his man, in the furnace of affliction. That's his preferred method. That's what he does. He knows how to get our attention. Ezekiel 34 and verse 14. Talking about them sheepies again. Should be on your bulletin. I think it's right there. Yeah, there it is right there. Ezekiel 34 and verse 14. I will feed them with good pasture. See, we think the grass is greener over here because that's a little trick. It's like Lot and Abraham. Lot and Abraham, this is in Genesis. You can read it. You should read it. Lot and Abraham, they were kinfolk, and they both were immensely wealthy with these herds and flocks and herds. And they're like, their servants were fighting with each other. The land that they were currently at could not support both of their extremely rich and healthy herds. They were rabbit farmers. It was thousands of rabbits as far as the eye could. It's not. That's not in the Bible. Please forgive me. It's not. I just thought that'd be kind of funny. His rabbits. No. I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. But the land couldn't support all their livestock. So Abram says, looky here, Lot. You pick a direction, I'll go the other one. You go one way, I'll go the other. That way, we still stay connected as family. We love each other. Our servants won't be fighting with one another. Everything will be able to go on. Well, Lot, man, he looked around, and everything was laid out before him. And Lot went towards Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, kind of like, say you're out in the, driving in the midnight sky, and you see the beautiful bright lights of Reno, Nevada. Las Vegas. Well, I ain't never been there. You know, or whatever. You see what I'm saying, right? Lot had to go that way. It looked good to the eye, and it does. That sort of thing certainly does. But see, he was being led by his own desires. I will feed them with good pasture. God's always got something better for you. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. Okay, now Israel, remember, Israel was the land that God had set aside for God's people. It was the best of the best. And he was saving that for them. He said, I got something better for you. Now, there's some warfare that's got to take place. You got to trust in me. Okay, but I'll get you there. I'll give you the best, better than you can even imagine. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. Isn't that pretty? See, God's got things better for us than we could ever imagine. And so he said, I want to lead you to this place, because the best place we can be when everything else is falling apart around us is in God's will, man. You know what I mean? I'm talking about taking the word of God and to the best of my ability saying I'm going to obey this. And when I'm starting to stray, because people hurt your feelings, things happen, say, God, give me the strength. I'm casting my cares upon you because you care for me. Amen. All right, so is everybody doing all right? Anybody have a clue how long I've been talking? Like, seriously, does anyone? I know someone's been counting down. All right. We're doing good. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Psalm 23 and verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And we're probably going to stop. We're going to go on for a few more minutes. And then we'll probably, Lord willing, we'll pick this up next week. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Because it don't always feel good, but he knows what he's doing. Sometimes he will just say, hey, Paul, can I call you Paul? I created you. Hey, Paul, I need you to chill out for a minute. I need you to take a break. I need you to recharge your batteries, dude. You know, there's that too. You know, where we feel like we got to keep going. One more. Got to do one more. You know, and it's good to have that drive, man. That's another thing my daddy built. You know, work hard, man. Nobody owes you nothing. And that's true. Nobody owes you nothing. Nobody owes you nothing. But we don't work, we don't eat. You know, we got to work hard. We need to be productive. Sometimes it's hard for hardworking folk just to chill out, man, for a few minutes. And God will say, hey, won't you just relax for a minute? I can't relax. My mind won't shut down. I dig it. I understand it. But God says, cast your cares upon me. Give me your burdens. All right? Sometimes we neglect some things that are very important, man, because we're just so wound about getting another thing done. And it's not that we're bad folks, man. We're wanting to be that producer, that productive cat. It's a short story I'm writing for children. It's called Productive Cat. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Isn't that beautiful? Man, just like we got to, you know, take that break. You know, just like we got to eat the appropriate meals and the appropriate sizes. And I'm talking about things I don't do. But you know, you got to exercise and work out and all that and take care of your body, right? You know what I'm saying? There's books about it. But see, we neglect our spirit, man. And that spirit, man, look, man, we can get so, I'm almost done. We'll take this up next week. But we get so drained, man, spiritually, you know, doing the thing, you know. And it's not that we don't love God. It's not that we don't love our fellow man. But, you know, sometimes we're going off in that wrong direction, you know, and God's saying, come back. Sometimes we get caught up in sin. Sometimes we're feeling the weight of our sin. Sometimes we're dealing with the consequences of our selfish actions. Sometimes the world just weighs on us, man, because bad things happen in this world, you know, and we get drained. And God said, look, man, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Let me be your shepherd. Let me lead you to where you need to be. Even when right outside, everything's falling apart, I got you. I got you. I want you to rest in me. I want to build you up again. I want to recharge your spiritual self. Recharge your soul. You see what I'm saying? We need that, man. See, that's where the word of God comes in. Man cannot live by bread alone. I think we got that. Yeah, let's go to the next slide. I think it's on there. No, I didn't even look that one up. I mean, I did. Maybe I did. Okay. Let's not do that. Let's do Psalm 19, verse 7. You got it on your bulletin. I need my soul renewed sometimes. You've heard me say, man, I'm running low on soul coal. I didn't make that up. But I love that. I think it was Mike Myers. Seriously. I heard him doing an interview. He was talking about writing the Austin Powers movies. And he was saying that I'm not saying go watch those movies. I'm just saying that I caught some interview and he was talking about that there was a time in his life his dad was extremely ill and his dad was passing away and he was running low on soul coal. I don't know why I'm explaining that to you. I just like that because that makes a lot of sense. You know? All right. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. This word right here, the law of the Lord, the word of God is perfect. There's not a lot of perfect things in this world. Matter of fact, there's nothing perfect in this world outside of Jesus Christ, which is the word made flesh. Can I get a witness? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. So God's trying to get me back to that place where when nothing's making sense, I grab a hold of that good book and I say, this word is perfect. Hey, the angels just came in. Psalm 119, verse 103. Psalm 119, verse 103, talking about the word of God, talking about reviving my soul. How sweet are your words to my taste? Have you ever got into the word of God and it was like that? You're like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed. And I'm not talking about you felt great before you got into it. You're hurting, and that problem still exists in the natural, but God just gave you exactly what you needed to hold on. You know? How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know what's cool about honey? It's good for you. It's good for you. It's documented. I'm not making anything up. It's good for you. Bees make it, and they do a whole thing with it. But it's really, really good for you. And it tastes good, Brother Bill. You know, think about it. You can eat your Brussels sprouts. That's good for you. You can eat your kales, whatever that stuff is. But Rachel will do that every once in a while. Like, what is that horrendous? What is this? Well, it's good for you, baby. You need... It's like, what? But see, honey's different, man. Honey's good. Honey's good, man. It's sweet, but it's good for you. Okay. So God wants to revive our soul. He wants to lead us to this place of peace and rest, even when everything else is falling apart around us. Can I get a witness? He says, I want to take you to this place. Let me be your shepherd. Okay. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 23, verse 3. We're wrapping things up. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He gives me that strength, man, when I'm running low on soul cold. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, he's like saying, oh, come on, come on. I want you to go this way. I don't like that way. That way, don't. No, this is the way you need to go. This is the right way. This is the path where you're going to grow in maturity. Okay? And so we are just naturally bent. Even as saved people, man, our flesh wants to go the wrong way. And God says, look, if I'm your shepherd, okay, then you follow me. Because that's really what shepherds do. The sheep follow them. The sheep know their voice. We follow him. Which means I just follow him. I'm not going to go anywhere where he hasn't already been before me. Amen? Father God, we love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you so much.